We post 328 pieces of content a week right now.
What? Did you say 328 pieces? Each time I kind of take a little break from social media, when I come back, I'm like, I'm consuming less.
I haven't fasted social media since social media began.
You have your phone with you 24/7. So I wonder what it's like now for parents who you have that distraction with you 24/7. How do you keep yourself present? I hate the word hashtag couple goals or whatever. I just don't want to go there. Yeah. I run from that inauthenticity.
You just get put on such a pedestal where I think the culture actually forces you to be fake.
Hey, thanks so much for joining me here today. I have a very good friend, Sean Cannell, who's here with me today. Today, we're going to talk about social media. I mean, Sean is a YouTube expert. He's a strategist. He's helped so many people grow their business, figure out what their impact is that they want to make using video, using social media. And that's kind of like how we met. He's one of the professors in our academy, but more importantly, he's one of the funniest people I know and very real and someone who I really enjoy talking to. So I wanted to talk about social media today.
Fired up. Love the topic. Let's do it.
All right. So everyone says they want to become an entrepreneur so they have more freedom. And we were talking about how there's all these people who specifically build just kind of a social media presence as their business. Then they realize they have no freedom. Like it becomes a golden prison, if you will. I recently did an episode about burnout.
Yeah.
And I mean, to be honest, I use the word burnout in my title for search engine optimization purposes. I'm not burnt out,
yeah.
But I am very in tune with when I start to feel resentment towards it, or I'm like, okay, now I'm not living the authentic thing that I wanted to do as an entrepreneur. Like I'm doing this entrepreneurship so I have like freedom, and it's very tempting to just keep putting more and more things on your plate and lose that freedom. So first, speak to that. Do you find yourself in that position?
Well, personally, I'm trying to grow in self-awareness and try to get more in tune with my emotions. I don't think I am burnt out. I don't think I have burnt out. Mm. I think I would know.
Have you ever been close?
Yeah, but I wonder if I've towed the line of burnout for like the last 15 years.
To be honest, right? Well, kids will definitely make you more aware. Kids can sometimes be that like, okay, I can't take this.
Yeah. Well, and now I'm 39, turning 40 in 6 months or something. And we have a 2.5-year-old and a 6-month-old. But I feel healthier and more balanced and further away from burnout now than ever before. Probably also because we have an annual theme in our business every year. Last year, our theme was at our best as a team based on a book called At Your Best, which was about written by Carrie Newhoff, who burnt out heavy, had to like medically take a couple years off.
I don't know who that is. Is that somebody in social?
He's a leadership coach, expert, huge leadership podcast.
Okay.
And has wrote multiple books, but At Your Best was a really good book. So that hit me. And so we began to shift our team and our culture across the board, as well as personally. And then this year, our theme is Built to Last. Mm-hmm. And so we canceled our event this year. We canceled our YouTube bootcamp this year.
Dang.
We backed off of publishing a new book or trying to write a new book this
year. Okay, so you did that because you could sense it's too much.
Yes.
Not just for me, it's too much for my team.
It's exactly. And as a result of also hiring team and systems and being at year 6 or 7 in entrepreneurship where you even got out of those early survival days, which all of the above, I feel in a better place than I ever have been. But yeah, I go back and forth, and then sometimes Sonia jokes, and probably my team would tell you some of the things that will come out of my mouth at a certain time about that it would seem like, but are you on the verge of a mental breakdown?
Like what? Give me an example.
Well, I just, you know, like, I don't even know if I can handle this. Or like I joke, I'm very cynical and sarcastic, but there's probably a little bit of truth in all the sarcasm and just joking about burnout.
Mm.
I think, again, I hope my self-awareness level is high enough.
Yeah.
But no, I think I've been probably a little too close.
Who is in your relationship with your wife, Sonia? Who is it that's like more aware of like, wait, no, this is too much. Simmer down.
Oh, Sonia, for sure.
Oh.
She doesn't think I listen to her very well because she will tell me specific things.
Most husbands don't.
And
sorry.
And probably one of my problems is that even I'm very active, even if it's not business, we'll be on our way to Leavenworth, Washington in a very much vacation mode. And I'll be like, so, hey, here's kind of some of the real estate write-offs that I'm learning about. So I'm thinking we should invest in a prop. She'll be like, Sean, I just told you. I can't take any more with everything we're carrying in business. Yeah. And then I'll, you know, maybe bring something else up. It could be about real estate, could be about investing. Then I'll say, so I've been studying some different taxes stuff. Here's some of the different investment things she could do. She'd be like, I need a break. So I'm thinking about people we're hiring and some other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, or
it's
I'll
hard
go,
for you to shut off.
Yeah. So I'm in goal setting, write-offs, finances,
totally.
Business, even health though.
Are you ADHD?
I don't know, maybe.
No, you don't know?
I don't know.
You've never been tested?
No.
Do you have a lot of the symptoms? Like when you, you know, not that social media can diagnose you, but like when you hear people talking about what it's like and how, like I describe ADHD as my brain is a TV that has 1,000 channels and someone is sitting on the remote changing the channels. I don't know it. And they're flying through the channels and I'm just saying them out loud and they're just coming to my brain. That's what ADHD feels like to me.
Do people with ADHD change the subject a lot?
Well, yes.
Because I do that all the time.
Okay.
I go and nobody around me knows which, like I will go in the most random directions, start just quoting music lyrics or just completely
Amen.
Change the subject.
Like today I was supposed to meet you and then I got thrown into a new rabbit hole because you were like, can you come early? And then I was like, I'm not a boy.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, now I need to do some lip syncs about not being a boy. Like, you know, rabbit holes, all these things. Then I'm researching, when did Beyonce leave Destiny's Child? Like, what?
That is funny. But creatively, I do find it difficult to check off my actual to-do list. And I look for escape routes into just making a reel.
So you'll create a sub to-do list.
Or not even a to-do. I will just start doing a community tab post. Oftentimes to avoid like the things that like Melissa on my team wants me to actually do.
Now I'm like, your therapist, do you find it hard to focus when you've got to, like, for example, write an intro for a YouTube channel and you can hear conversations and people are asking you questions? Can you toggle back and forth between those? Or would you prefer like, oh, just give me silence for a minute?
I don't understand people who work at coffee shops.
Dude.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because no, all I can hear is the conversations around me, the song playing in the background.
Oh, wow.
I can't even work in my home office if the door is open. And Sonia will come, she'll open the door. She doesn't close it. She never closes it. She'll come in just like, hey, Dad. I'm like, okay, cool. And then she'll walk. And I'm like, have we been married 17 years? Because we've been married 17 years. And I'll get up and I'll close the door. I really need a door closed office kind of in the zone to be productive and to be focused, especially to write. I can focus once in that environment. If I sit down, door closed, and I know that I'm going to write the intro and an outline for a podcast, that's the mode I'm in. But if you throw me into an environment with lots of people around and so on and so forth.
Oh my God.
If I'm in that environment, then we just need to goof off, joke around, talk and do some stuff.
Yeah.
But I really need separation between those two environments.
Okay. So speaking of that, I think that a lot of people think they have ADHD because social media has made us all very easily distracted, right? So there's all these things fighting for our attention. And like I was just talking to Mel about how sometimes when I open up my app, it's not even that that person triggers me or this particular post triggers me. It just, it's too much dopamine for my brain and too many micro decisions. Like, do I know this person? Do I need to go back to their profile and figure out, why am I following them? Who are they? Will I offend them if I unfollow them? Because I really don't know who this is. Should I look at some of their content before I unfollow them? It's this whole like, and it feels very overwhelming. And I found that each time I kind of take a little break from social media, like almost like a fast, I come back and I never fast for long, like a couple days off of social. But when I come back, I'm like, I'm consuming less.
Mm.
Are you consuming less social?
So on the theme of Built to Last, and I'll come back to that, we are taking our first Sabbath week this year, are shutting our company down for 2 weekends connected.
Okay.
Paid time off for the team, in addition to their other PTO and federal holidays and all this stuff. And we're also not going to post on YouTube. And we post 328 pieces of content a week right now.
What? Did you say 328 pieces?
Yeah.
How many people on your team are responsible for that?
I mean, lots of video editors. I mean, video editors, a couple contractor micro video editors. One,
just the posting, just the...
Brian is basically doing all of the posting.
Brian,
mind
you,
when you post a video podcast, though, we are counting YouTube, Google, Spotify, Apple. So a couple of the podcast episodes count. Stories count.
Sure.
And yeah, you know, vertical videos count.
Okay, okay.
Every story
that's
would be
interesting.
Yeah, and then profile posts or questions on Facebook.
Dude, we might be close then. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
And he does good spreadsheets, and that was an average over a month.
Wow.
But we do have a dedicated vertical video editor that takes clips out of our video podcasts, and we're at two a day. Two original clips a day are being created from our podcast.
Back to social media.
Back to social media. So we're taking Sabbath week. So I threw out there, I'm thinking I might take a week off.
Of no consuming or no creating or both?
No creating.
No creating.
And I remember because in hindsight, I brought it up on the meeting and then Jordan and Mel on our team were like, I can't believe when you said that. Like, was that true? And I was like, thinking about it, I haven't fasted social media since social media began.
Wow.
I mean, I actually probably since... Yeah, I've never gone on a social media fast.
Even 2 days?
No, maybe a
wow,
day.
Dude.
But I don't even think a day.
Okay.
Maybe I put my phone for multiple hours.
Are you consuming more or less than you were 2 years ago?
I'm probably consuming more.
Wow.
It is something I truly enjoy. I think if I start to feel like it's too much and I'm overwhelmed, but I mean, I consume YouTube content on my smart TV.
Okay.
It's therapeutic.
Yeah.
It's a lot of different, it might be long form conversation. Sure. It could still be very deep.
So that kind of social media, I almost don't count as social media. I know it is. But I too can find that like relaxing, entertaining.
I will stay off the feeds.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm into, maybe I'm more of the YouTube guy and I like that substantive educational content.
Yeah.
So when you say consuming, I'm oftentimes listening to podcasts.
Okay. Agreed.
Audio and then maybe video on the TV. And then this is kind of a weird, very niche thing with kids, with my background. Like I don't play video games anymore, but I've been a gamer on and off in my life. I'm watching StarCraft II, which is like as a strategy game playthroughs that are like 45 minutes long.
I don't even know who you are right now.
I know, it's super weird. And what's actually out of everything else that's happening, it's kind of, esports are like sports to some weirdos like me. You know that esports is bigger than sports?
Yes, yeah. That makes sense because it's accessible.
Oh, and people, I never thought I would be this guy, but like, yeah, watching this game that was also part of my childhood, that's still very popular in Korea, it is a way to unplug and unwind.
I get it.
Yeah, just watching.
And there's much worse, more damaging, addictive things you could be doing.
Yeah, that's true.
When you talk about YouTube and consuming content, one thing that totally bugs me, and we talked about a little bit, is, and I'm worried about these kids, right? Like, and I always joke about like, oh, I wish my kids were younger and I could monetize the hell out of them, right? Like now they're just big old adults. It's no fun. But there's so many people who do like make their social media platform around their kid, right? Like not just family, but like this kid. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've seen these channels, right? Where, and then you watch this kid kind of grow up on camera and they can't really consent to it.
Right.
It's not like a child actor where there are laws governing it and they have like a monetary interest that's protected on their behalf. And you see these parents setting up these scenarios and it just makes me worried for the kids. What are you seeing? What are you hearing?
Well, did you see the mom that edited her vlog wrong? And at the end of her vlog, she was like, no, like look sad for the thumbnail. No, like look sad. And she was shouting at the kid.
Dude, I did.
Yeah.
Okay. So for those of you who aren't familiar with the story, it was this YouTuber, family YouTuber. And basically, you know, the thumbnail was like, pray for our puppy or something. And the puppy had like maybe parvo or something. But she wanted to kind of craft the story where the kid is crying because she's like, we don't know if he's going to live or something.
Right.
It's just like really like turning the kid into an actor.
Mm-hmm. And it made a lot of people sick.
Yeah.
And she left in this part, which was going to be a screen grab for a thumbnail.
Right.
And I think the kid was resisting too.
Yeah, like, I don't want to.
I'm done. And she kept pushing it. And she accidentally left like over 60 seconds of footage that was meant to be edited out.
There are no accidents.
Yeah. And so, this is a very...
So is she gone?
I'm not sure.
She probably did the apology video.
Yeah. And
which, that's another thing. Sorry, like we're going to jump around because I'm sure you have ADHD too now. But enough with the crying videos too.
Sure. There's apology videos. I like watching compilations on YouTube of like the best and worst apology videos ranked.
Okay, I'm ready.
And is it real? Is it fake? And Logan Paul, who people would say is probably a sociopath, very possible. And his apology video and his attack video, he got in a big crypto scam. And then said he was going to sue CoffeeZilla. And then he apologized and deleted that video.
And it's like a thing, and the girls have like a minimal amount of, like, you can't have too much makeup on, you can't be too cute, sure. You need to just like sit down on the floor for some reason, and you know, you just start with like a deep breath.
You start, and you go, I don't know how I'm going to make this video.
Oh yeah.
You go, I've
made it so many times and deleted it. Yeah. It's so dumb, like literally. Yeah.
I think that, I mean, speaking of social media kids, I think it's pretty touchy, and I think that social media is new enough and the generations of content creators are, we don't know the fallout fully.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear Macaulay Culkin's maybe the story of, you have Home Alone and then you have like, man, he's been through a rough road.
Right.
Child actor kind of a
All
thing.
Of them.
What's going to happen to family vloggers who have their children? You know, the co-author of our book, YouTube Secrets, Benji, has had a lot of deep thoughts about this, and I respect him and his wife because they're OG YouTubers.
Are they still doing family vlogs?
Oh, yeah,
vlogging?
They're still doing family vlogs. And she started beauty videos in 2008. So
wow.
15 years, and they've been vlogging for like 13. And just their character, their guarding of their marriage, some of the things they do with their kids is talk to them about it, ask them if they want to opt out.
Oh, they do with their kids?
Different things. Huh. And they're very thoughtful about certain things they show, and they really avoid exploiting. I think people do try to take the clickbait to the extreme, and the Ace families got caught for that, and just trying to create excessive drama with their kids or exploiting maybe private situations.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I've seen these YouTube videos where they set up a camera and the kid doesn't even know that they're being filmed while they're talking to them about sex or procreation, or they set up a camera, the kid doesn't know that they're being filmed, and they're just having this like very heart-to-heart, gut-wrenching personal conversation. First of all, like, I was so awkward as a kid. And to think that like that footage would be out there today would just be horrifying.
Yeah.
And again, I also have accounts that I follow where they show their kids a little bit and it's cute and it lets you know what kind of parent they are,
yeah.
But it's not centered around the kid.
Yes.
You've got two kids and it's awfully tempting, right?
Well, yeah. And to me, social media is naturally integrated into my life. My Instagram stories are kind of my daily vlog.
Uh-huh.
It's the easiest, and rather than editing a daily vlog and putting it out there forever.
And that also disappears.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's true. It does disappear.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I love integrating my six-month-old, and I'll have him on a front pack,
uh-huh.
or I'll be on a walk. And it's just things that come up naturally, but
yeah.
We'll be coming into these. I feel kind of fortunate because there is some runway now. There's the Ryan's Toy Reviews, who's super famous.
Yes.
Has been under scrutiny because they're saying, when could he have ever consented? And is he getting anything? Is he getting anything out of it?
Who would bring that to the attention of authorities?
Journalists, I think, would amplify things. And they're like, no, he does get a such and such percentage, and we're setting up a trust for him. And is it fair because of how much influence he has versus what the parents do? And so this kind of dovetails into like fair use law and copywritten content and copywritten music. It's the Wild West.
Right,
it's
now,
like,
yeah.
This new idea of YouTube empowered people and social media empowered people to just start creating content and monetizing it. But
how come we used to get banned whenever we used a song? Now you can just use whatever song, doesn't matter, let's go.
Yeah, I don't know. And
I don't know either. People ask all the time, I'm like, I don't know.
I think because of things being new, obviously money and greed is a real thing. And when people start just seeing opportunity, they can just get swept up in it. Fame, they can get swept up in it. So I think what you also get into the momentum. What's funny is on Family Vloggers, not funny at all, actually, is one of the things I love about Benji and Judy is their devotion to each other. The boundaries he's set up, just to be careful that he hasn't like blown up his marriage. Because over the years
how
now,
do you do that?
Other family vloggers, many family vloggers who promoted family and marriage,
of course,
are divorced,
affairs,
sexting, met somebody else online, and lots of people sliding in their DMs or whatever.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they haven't just been OGs in this thing,
I will cut a bitch if she tries to slide into my husband's DMs.
I think some of the stuff Benji's done is just being thoughtful about how long he's away from home or how he travels or how he travels when he's alone and their communication and things like that.
That requires a degree of humility, because I think a lot of people, when they get into this, ego takes over.
Yes.
And adoration takes over, and then it's hard to set up those boundaries because you can really use that as an excuse. So that's awesome he does that.
They also, they had a lot of pull. One of the pull for their family was to LA, because if you're in LA.
What do you mean they had a lot of pull?
Meaning pressure, and not okay. maybe external or just career-wise. If all they cared about was career, growth, fame, ego, then they would have moved to LA mm-hmm. and there was invitations to be a sure. part of this or that thing. You'll get more opportunities. You can collab all the time.
Yeah.
But for them, family was such a value, and also a little bit of separation from being in such a high intensity environment where yeah. it's constant influencer parties and all this other yeah. stuff. So the word humility actually really personifies their family. Like wow. they live well below their means, conservative decisions. I'd call it wisdom, just some wise decisions. And sure enough, they're still standing today. Built to last, like their family's intact and they're parenting their kids and they're building more around their relatives and their parents than around other things. So
I think it's tricky. Like I even think about Real Housewives, all those, you know, sure. shows, those franchises, that part of your brand is your marriage, right? And
yeah.
rest in peace, Dave Hollis, like Rachel and Dave Hollis, like their brand was their marriage.
Right.
And I think that really gets tricky for people. It's one of the reasons why Brett and I, we just kind of dabble in doing stuff together, and we're never going to be marriage experts. We're never going to be, you know what I mean? Because I just don't want to be in that space. I don't ever want to be like, you know, I think like Kelly Ripa and her husband, Mark Consuelos, now they're doing the show together. So now they're doing posts, other social medias. It just feels a lot like a brand. And like Brett and I are talking about doing some YouTubes together. I'm like, I don't want to slip down that slippery slope mm-hmm. where people think, I hate the word hashtag couple goals or whatever. It's like, I just don't want to go there. Yeah. I run from that inauthenticity. And I think it's a recipe for disaster. It's like kind of getting your spouse's name tattooed on your body. You for sure are going to get divorced.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's someone who's the exception. But there's certain things where it's like, it feels like you're really making something that's already hard, which is marriage and having kids,
yeah.
and making it 100 times harder.
I think also the problem, as soon as you platform the perfect marriage,
mm-hmm.
I have a background in ministry and church,
mm-hmm.
and this has happened across the
oh, yeah.
the board with certain high profile pastors and leaders,
yeah.
which again, they're platforming. And I think that's the problem when you make the pastor the superhero and not Jesus.
Yes.
When you platform a person, I think there's probably a way to do it better where you're platforming some humility in your imperfections as
okay.
opposed to platforming couple goals.
Yeah.
As soon as you start going down that yeah. superhero, I don't have any weaknesses.
Yeah.
And unfortunately in that environment too, you just get put on such a pedestal where I think the culture actually forces you to be fake, or it does not actually allow margin for your imperfections. So it's like a flywheel of you continuing to, let's just look the part. And again, of
yeah,
course,
let's
treading lightly with, because it's awful, you know, Dave Hollis passed away very young.
Yeah.
But at the time when their whole announcement of divorce happened, they were doing a marriage
retreat.
Brand
yeah,
with
yeah.
a product yeah. for sale of all yeah. of that stuff. The problem, as soon as they position that, though, is even if stuff isn't going well in your marriage or even very awful, you got a product to sell.
Yes.
So you have to paint the product in the best
yes.
light.
Yes.
So you obviously have to fake it.
What do you think about this couple that's blowing up on YouTube right now that are basically their message is work, work, work. We married for entrepreneurial reasons.
Yeah.
We don't want to have kids, which is fine. I mean, that's a personal choice, but it almost feels like this is, I don't know. It just really feels like we're glamorizing the hustle grind to have these incredibly lofty goals. And also because they're blowing up, now people are like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that if it's true to who they are, and it really is who they are, then I respect them for having self-awareness that that's what they want to do. Personally, you could call it traditional, but I believe that getting married, having children is part of God's purpose.
Mm.
Of course, with empathy, I know that maybe you're unable to mm-hmm. have children
mm-hmm.
or there's different situations, or that some people might feel called to a life of singleness or all those different things.
Mm-hmm.
But for like the core majority, this is God's design as mm-hmm. far as find that person, procreate, be fruitful, multiply. And I know that this is a conservative point of view, but I think that there's fulfillment found in that.
And you know, that's such a tricky thing to say right now, because like, right, you're saying this, I'm totally agreeing with you, and in my mind I'm also saying, oh, I'm gonna have to temper all this,
totally,
because there's gonna be people listening who are gonna be offended because they have decided not to do that, and they're still just as good as someone who has, I mean, with their relationship with Jesus, or that they would love to, and they just haven't met the right person, and so this makes them feel guilt, or maybe they've struggled with fertility and all these things. Just, I guess what I'm saying is, I agree with you, but also, we both also agree that some people, it's yeah. just not in the deck of cards for them, and maybe that is part of God's plan, but it does, once you've had kids, you're like, you can't hide the fact that it brings you so much joy.
I also know that my heart got very sick towards, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says hope deferred makes the heart sick. So this is also touchy, because hope deferred in any area, you want the thing to work and it doesn't, that knocks the wind out of you. You wanted the relationship to work, the business to work, or you've been trying for 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
Yep.
We've been married 17 years, my wife and I, and this wasn't like, if we married and we were like, let's just work all the time and hustle and build businesses because that's our thing, well, then we both were in unified in our vision and made a decision. Mm-hmm. I can respect that. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to start a family. Mm. And Sonia got very sick, very young in our marriage.
Yeah.
And so we went through almost health challenges. My wife almost died. And so one of the things I realized was, you know, we didn't have kids until 15 years into being married, and we wanted them the whole time.
How sick were you of people saying, are you guys going to have your kids? Like, people say that all the time, huh?
Well, yeah, because they, of course they don't know. And I think empathetic to like, oh, why? Are you guys just made a decision, or you decided to prioritize your business? It's not, we decided to prioritize our business. We also wanted to just graciously and humbly, you'd got to play the hand you're dealt.
Yep.
And so you're going through piece by piece. But as in those final couple years, along with the pressure of entrepreneurship, but certainly the pressure there, I really was in a pretty tough spot. I was drinking a ton.
I didn't know that.
I mean, probably 2-3 drinks a night and going crazy on the weekends, or 3-6, just chilling out. And I started smoking weed and like spending $400 a week on weed for a while there. And you know, you get some weed and alcohol, you just getting crunk, man. You got like, you're...
And, all right, Pastor.
Yeah, I know. It's just, and so, but as I look back, you know, I actually was meeting with the pastor, because I look back kind of being hard on myself. And this person was like, even thinking about how God was seeing me in that situation, was like, you were in a lot of pain and you were numbing emotional pain.
Yeah.
And also escaping, trying to escape from pressures of business, or just cope with the pressures of business. I heard another entrepreneur I respect that just talked about drinking a half, a fifth of whiskey or whatever every night, just to take the emotional pressure that and stress that mounted up from the day of building a business, and just to get back to neutral. And I could look at the business side, but also part of that was sort of like, I got to this place of, okay, we're financially secure. Of course, we could have more of a following on social media, but I'm a small town kid, college dropout. Like, I didn't have to hesitate to, you know, if they said, do you want guacamole at Chipotle? And I didn't hesitate. I was like, yeah, 2 scoops. So like, it's going to be $3.25 a scoop. I was like, yeah, that's fine.
Load it up.
As soon as I hit that, I was like, I'm rich. It was like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone. This is the height of luxury. Like, I just literally, that was, and we had a really cool thing going. Like, I think media was doing good at the time.
Yeah.
You could say I was pretty high functioning because
more
or less the team didn't know. Although the other day, I was talking to Kyle in San Diego. I was like, bro, thanks for sticking with it. I go, did you know? He's like, yeah, you know, I kind of smelt it sometimes.
Wow. And, you know, whatever. Yeah, I will say this. You look younger.
I do now?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I pretty much stopped drinking and...
Completely? Or you just, it's in moderation now?
Not completely, but yeah, I mean, more than moderation, like once a month.
Wow.
You know? That,
I think that's an interesting concept, because you feel like there's this message that it's all or nothing, right? Like that moderation doesn't exist. And maybe for some people it doesn't. But I think there's a lot of people out there that could really improve their lives by cutting back.
Well, yeah, totally. And I think as part of the, I've been also studying it, Andrew Huberman for like 2 hours on alcohol and getting some of that. The entrepreneurship thing has been strong as far as you get an eighth day, 25 hours a day and 8 days a week. Because if you drink heavy.
Wait, break that down for me again.
Like, well, because if you do drink, that's enough to have you feel it the next day. You lose that day.
Okay, that's true.
You lose that morning.
Yeah.
Or at least you're just not at your best.
Right.
So if you actually obviously you can only technically have 7 days, but yeah. you're getting a whole nother day.
Yeah.
I remember I was at this like business event and this guy was talking about how giving up alcohol helped him, like, just that was like a net negative. So he was going from like a purely mathematical, he's a very analytical person. Mm-hmm. And he was like, if I just want to have higher performance, then I, and so to your point though, I do think a level, I think, I mean, you've, it's in the Bible, celebration and feasts.
Yeah.
And Jesus turned water into wine.
Yeah.
And so, but there's like the practical side, but some of my friend asked me the other day, Alejandro, he was like, number one, he was like, bro, why didn't you tell me when you were like just crushing, like, just living that rapper lifestyle, blunts and,
right.
and, you know, and I was like, you know, I don't know, bro, I was in a tough spot. But he goes, what was one of the shifts? And one of the shifts was Sean Bradley, my first son.
Yeah.
On the countdown towards Sean Bradley being born, I'm asking myself, who do I want to be for my son? And who do I want to be as a father for him? And that was a big influence.
Did Sonya ever give you an ultimatum?
No, she didn't. I mean,
did she know the extent?
Well, yeah. What ended up happening actually was the reason I even got into it was because she actually had some medical marijuana, which is a great thing.
You know? Okay.
I mean, I think that's a really good use marijuana. For me, it wasn't really the need of medical. It was kind of like, you know, let's hit the peace pipe and Cheech and Chong. You know what I'm saying? And so, and there was actually, I've dealt with, that's a whole nother thing. Actually, burnout by overwork of chronic pain in my arms. We could circle back on that. It was certainly partly, that's what Kyle said. He goes, I didn't know if it was medical because of chronic pain that I've dealt with. The thing is that besides maybe kind of escaping the pain, it doesn't treat the pain.
No.
Which I think people understand. But all that to say was that was kind of my first foray into it. Then for her, she kind of took the exit ramp, but was just aware that it was.
What do you mean that she took the exit ramp?
Of like marijuana use.
Oh, stopped using it?
Correct.
So you're saying, okay. But and she was never like, you know, I feel like you're drinking too much, or it feels like you're smoking too much, or like,
it was,
dude, stop playing.
I mean, for
esports.
I was at play. Actually, I was at that time because, again, no kids. That was when I was gaming. You know,
you sound like a real.
Have some whiskey,
winner.
Got a blunt, playing some Red Dead Redemption 2.
Been wearing the same damn sport sweats for like 5 days.
Yeah, not really though. I mean, I'm actually still like crushing business Monday through Friday, but you know, kind of weekends or whatever.
Now that you have kids, what is your thought on, like, for example, you run a social media company, a media company, if you will, and you teach people how to do this. It's part of your, you just said, I'm probably consuming more than I have in the past, although different than probably the feed. But if things were exactly as they are today and your kids were, say, 12, 15 years old, would you let them have phones? Would you let them go on social media? What would that look like?
I'm a little too cavalier. Mm. I would. Mm-hmm. I do.
Would you let them have guns and knives?
I do.
And hookers.
And in moderation. you know, I mean, so we're actually incredibly, there's no screen time all day long for our son.
Okay.
And one of the things that's a huge blessing is where we're at in our business is we have a nanny. So he's reading books and he's in the backyard. And then when my work day ends, like more or less 9 to 5, like, and I work at home so I could see him in the middle of the day or we do whatever. But I also will grab him, we'll go on a walk, and then we will give him screen time at like the end of the day or whatever. We've also gone 2 weeks without screen time.
Oh.
Sometimes as a tired parent though, tired from your work day or whatever, like that is the only option. Like if I need to actually have a conversation or it's like you give him the screen, you actually can, if Sonia's gone, I can actually take a shower and not, you know, and watch him and have him sit on the floor there.
It's a safety thing.
So, and
it's the way to have a peaceful meal sometimes.
You know what this is triggering in me though?
What?
Now that I'm learning as a parent, there is no topic that triggers more people than them judging how you parent.
Oh, yes.
Like, I made a few comments on social media and people were like, I made a comment about like the child's room being their own. It was a random thing that our micro editor cut out about, this is my property. Like, their room is my room. I can go in your room or something like that. And somebody was like, if you don't respect your kid's privacy, good luck. They're not going to text you when they're. And I was like, whoa, that escalated quickly. Like,
absolutely.
You know, and so much lack of context. But just all that to say about people's. Even the other day, we were at a restaurant waiting and there was two ladies and he was grabbing for their phone. He went to reach for their phone and we're like, oh, ha, ha, ha. Like, he likes the phone. He loves watching Blippi. And like the judgy eyes hit us.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, you allow your son to look at the screen. We were in this kind of more country town of Snohomish, Washington.
Yeah.
And I was like, you've made assessments of like our entire value system.
As if
like,
their kids didn't sit down and watch cartoons. And what's the difference?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. And
I mean, I know there are differences, but in essence, we're talking about entertaining a child.
Yeah. And so Sonia is an incredible mom and very assertive. She's, you know, I have bought like every single parenting book. I haven't read any of them, but I purchased all the books and they're in a pile. Sonia is actually reading them.
Yeah.
And so think that's also, it's going to make us a killer team. And I lean more on the side of like, this is the modern world.
Yeah.
So I want us to be active, which we are, reading physical books, which our son loves, being out in nature, which we are, running with my son in a jogger, our two boys in a Thule jogger. And then also, look at the screen at night, like, because that's also the lifestyle I'm living. So I want to be true to what it is and learning social or being active on social, watching it. Maybe you want to be a creator, maybe you won't.
Yeah.
There's an obscure Bible verse in Ecclesiastes that says the man who fears God avoids all extremes. And I think that extremes can get weird. Like no phone, no technology. Like, okay, that's a little extreme.
I think extremes in anything, whether it's politics,
sure,
people's opinions, any extreme, I don't get it. I'm more gray. Like we were talking about, like politically, like I want to listen to both sides because I want to have an open mind. And I think both sides are insane.
Yeah.
And you know, where the people who make the most sense are somewhere in the middle.
100%.
I hate that we have these two parties, but I mean, I just think that there's a way to be level-headed about this and not everything has to be so polarizing. There's always a way to look at things, you know, mm-hmm. We could spend a long time talking about that, but back to social media and parenting. When my kids were little, social media wasn't as, it really didn't take off the way it is now until like 2010, 2011. You know, that's when I remember like, oh, I've got to use it. But it was my computer. It was my laptop. It was emails. It was blogs. It was creating things on my computer.
Yeah.
And so I think about when they were really little and I worked from home. If you have a phone, you can kind of follow them into their room and you kind of keep an eye on them and be on your phone. But then when my kids were young, I had to have them kind of near me, but I was on the computer and I would have to like really stop myself and try to go out and do something so that I wasn't constantly like not paying attention, not present, right? And so I wonder what it's like now for parents who, you have your phone with you 24/7. You have that distraction with you 24/7. How do you keep yourself present?
Sure. I know nothing about any of this stuff with only a 2.5-year-old. I can't even imagine 7, 8, 10, 12, what kids can access on their phones. What age do you give them a cell phone? Because in the fact of our son like being able to watch YouTube Kids app, and we're aware, we look at what he's watching and we're like, well, that's getting sketch. And you can kind of like opt in of different things, even on the YouTube Kids app.
Yeah.
So we're very thoughtful, Sonia more so, and in terms of that consumption. But I think, man, that phone is a window into some good stuff and a lot of bad stuff. And so,
I mean, the worst thing that happened when I was growing up is you, fourth grade, go to school and someone brought a Playboy to school, like, and it was in the corner of the playground, right? Yeah. Everybody runs around and like, that was your first, like, to this day, I vividly remember that's the first time I saw like pornography or somebody naked, really.
Yeah.
And just thinking like, oh my God, I'm a horrible person now. I can never tell my parents I saw this. And to think now kids could just type in anything, because I've done it accidentally. You're Googling something, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of crazy to think that they, without the right parental controls in place, and even with those, there's just so, it's scary, but it's also where we are. And I'd love for those of you who are listening, what are your thoughts? Like, what age does it feel appropriate for you to give your kid a phone? If you've got kids who have phones, how do you set up boundaries for them? What programs are you using?
Yeah.
What lessons have you learned? I mean, there's so many horror stories I've heard, but it's also, I hear so many parents who are like, I have to give them a phone because all their friends have phones. I have to give them a phone because I have to know how to get in touch with them so that they're safe so I can track them, you know, and I guess it's just being vigilant.
And what's funny about that though is, again, now we do have tracking. You can see where they are all the time. So you can know if they said they were going to go one place or whatever. And parents are freaking out. And again, I'm treading lightly because I don't have kids in this situation yet. But how did we grow up? I mean, you're listening to this. How did you grow up?
I grew up a feral child. My parents would just drop me off places.
100%. They completely took you at your word. And I lied all the time. I'm going to Jordan's house because that was my window to go wherever I wanted.
Absolutely.
And then you could, that you're in a car, you would, and so better for better or worse, maybe for worse, but nevertheless, we are
survived,
here today.
Yes,
and all
absolutely.
The parents listening to this are here today. So we do go to these extremes of this, like you compare it to cartoons or radio or TV, and everything was like going to be like
the demise of society,
and society does adapt.
Yeah.
All the way back to being present, though, I think you have to be alert and vigilant and thoughtful and
disciplined.
And so, you know, Sonia often jokes, she'd be like, you're always on your phone. And I was like, I go, you're remembering. Maybe I was always on my phone like 2 years ago, but I like read a new book. I've been putting my phone away every night and trying to get you off your phone and just these different like seasons we're in. And so when we're just thoughtful and aware, I am very aware of thinking one of the things a lot of kids crave, and I noticed Sean Bradley, our 2.5-year-old, is he just wants to, like, daddy, watch me. Like, look at what I'm doing.
Yes.
Because you could go hang out with him and I could just scroll the whole time and do social media stuff. And so my thought is just put the phone away. It's all good. And just watch him kick the ball around, you know, play. So I certainly am already making mistakes and have a lot to learn. But I am just trying to be a thoughtful and intentional dad. And I'm trying to avoid extremes. Because the other thing is, like, they say, oh, nobody talks to each other at dinner anymore.
Yeah.
Everyone's just looking at their phone. But then on the flip side, you're like, yeah, but at some point you also had like nothing to talk about. So now it's like kind of cool because you can, you both are online shopping together.
Yeah.
Like, so like Sonia and I, oh, hey, check, do you like this one? Like, so people go to these extremes, like you can't be on your phone and it's not meaningful. It still could be meaningful.
Yeah.
I think you just have to be aware, vigilant.
I find it's
listening.
Dopamine for me. It's like, I can't get in the shower without something playing. I will stand there and take like 20 minutes to find something to watch or to listen to and then hook up a speaker to take a 4-minute shower. What is wrong with me?
I do the same thing. I have to get my Bluetooth speaker going for the shower.
What is wrong? Like, I can't take a 4-minute, like, I spend 25 minutes to take a 4-minute shower.
You know what's also funny is people say, like, okay, the number one thing every day you must not do is check your phone when you get out of bed. And you shouldn't have your phone near your bed because of the Wi-Fi signal.
Yeah.
It should be in another room. And I am pretty disciplined about my morning practice. Like reading the Bible, prayer, all these things are very important to me. Saying that, I check my phone first thing when I wake up. Mm-hmm. Like, I just actually go to my phone.
Right.
And then it is the first thing I do. I do sleep next to it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's good.
Right.
I'm
but are you checking social media or are you check? Like, I check text messages. I need to make sure that no one died. That's all.
All of my friends and team wish I checked my text messages. That's actually one of the areas I avoid. And being that it's our business and being that we've scheduled uploads, most of the times I get up before them, take that, think media, because it's usually 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. and I'm usually awake. And then I'm waiting because I'm trying to see. We release YouTube videos and they're ranked 1 out of 10.
Okay, yeah.
Of compared to your past 10.
Right, right.
So usually first thing I do, which is very, they all don't work instantly. No, it is the first thing I do.
Yep.
And it's like, is the video right? Is there something wrong with it?
Well, you're troubleshooting.
Yeah. And then also I usually go to Instagram and I scroll.
All right.
And I maybe go DMs and I'm like, and I'm also—
Yeah, I'm pretty much a better person than you.
Yeah.
Because I don't do that.
Right.
But I had to break that habit.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, I could lay there for hours. Like, the most embarrassing thing is when you get that TikTok notification, like, come on, you've been scrolling too long. I'll like look around like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed that I just lost control. So for me, but I still need a dopamine hit. Uh-huh. I still need something.
So what do you do?
So before I go to bed, I pick a podcast or an audiobook to start my morning with.
Oh.
And so I just look to see if there's text messages in case someone's died or needs me urgently. Yeah. And most of those I ignore. But then I still need content.
Planning the podcast for the morning is really smart because I think I'm getting up in the morning with no agenda yet. And I do have an agenda once I hit my journal, the Bible, like my plan, which I don't get stuck scrolling. It's just what I might go to the restroom first and like brush my teeth and it's kind of here. And then I go downstairs and coffee. I will admit, I feel better if I just turn on, I have this playlist called Morning Miracle Playlist on Spotify, which is kind of like an ambient, classical, kind of meditative, but creative, very hand curated songs that I've picked out over the last couple of years, all instrumental, which is my whole morning routine deal. And if I just play that better than content, better than a podcast or YouTube videos, man, it's just such a good state.
Thanks for being a guest on it, by the way.
Super grateful. So fun talking to you, and what a roller coaster of topics.
Well, they're used to my ADHD jumping all around, but it was good fun. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And as always, we would love for you to subscribe, like this if you're listening on whatever app you listen to for podcasts. Make sure you're following. Like, that's the new thing, instead of subscribing, you're supposed to make sure you're following. And if you enjoyed it, hit the share button and text this to your bestie. All right, guys, thanks for being here. We'll talk to you soon. I love you. I mean it.
This edition of Build Your Tribe was brought to you by InstaClub Hub. What is it? It is a membership. That means you log in and all of your lessons are there, but everything pertains only to Instagram. Full disclosure, we don't teach business funnels. We don't teach sales conversions. We don't teach email marketing. That is Marketing Impact Academy. But if you're like, my social media is at the root cause of why my business isn't growing, and I know I need to master Instagram, well, you should check it out, because we are giving people amazing results, like insane results, because we really have a great time studying this stuff. So check it out. Go to InstaClubHub.com right now, and we keep you up to date and current. You will grow your Instagram. I promise you that.